Who is looking out for you? Who's looking out for you? Cheryl's grandpa Lidro was the official coffee maker at church, and he was always the first one there on Sunday morning. He was getting the coffee ready, plugging it in, not sure what he did because I wasn't there, but I actually know that he was there all the time. And I don't know if he actually had the official title of being coffee maker, but he was always at the church when the doors were open. That's how I remember Lidro. Some years later, Cheryl and I, she started accompanying the choir and playing music at that church, so we started attending. And when I was there, Lidro was there. Eventually, we decided to join, and at that time, a young couple in the church about our age and about our stage in life, they befriended us. We became actually really good friends. And that friendship grew and over the years was a source of encouragement to us, and especially in those early days. So his name was Pete, and he was one of the first people that ever suggested that I consider maybe serving in ministry. And at the time when he told me that, I thought it was a bit odd that he would encourage me in that way. So he was a busy electrician, and when I was in need of some additional income, he offered me some part-time work. And it seemed like over the years, as that friendship grew in various stages of life and raising our kids, he and his wife, and in fact, his whole extended family, they seemed to care for us in these very special and unique ways. They really seemed to look out for us. You know, it wasn't until years later that Pete told me that Cheryl's grandpa was looking out for us too. Apparently, when we first started coming to church, the very first few times, her grandpa told Pete to keep an eye out on him, speaking to me. Now, I'm not sure what he meant by that. Not really sure what motivated that. But I discovered looking back that Pete took that role very, very seriously. And probably unknown to him at the time, it was a critical relationship in my walk with Jesus. You see, before we had moved to that area, Cheryl had tried a few churches. I was kind of on the sidelines, and I had just pretty much given up on the idea of going to church until she started to play music there. So I went along, and I met Pete, and we connected right away. They introduced us, he and his wife, to others in the church, and we began to find a place where not only we felt welcome, but I felt like I belonged. It became the place where God got a hold of me. Now, the church is where Lidro and Pete teamed up to look out for me. You know, all of us, we need a Pete. All of us need a Lidro. Because the truth is, life as a Jesus follower is a journey that we aren't to go it alone. There's too many obstacles. There's too many hurdles along the way that we just can't make it by ourselves. We can't think that we are strong enough. We need healthy, caring relationships to encourage us. So let me ask you, who is looking out for you? Who's looking out for you? This week we begin this church-wide pH check, which is periodic health assessment. Hopefully you received an email in your inbox. If you haven't, no problem, let us know. Or there's some computer set up back there where you can take it today. One of the areas that looks at is caring relationships. And it's central to our identity as Jesus followers is how well we care for each other. In fact, Jesus says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Your love, meaning those caring relationships, prove that you're my disciples. It marks us as Jesus followers. So what do caring relationships really look like? I mean, it's an easy term to throw out there, but what does that really mean? Well, Jesus did something on the cross that kind of gets lost in the enormity of the whole crucifixion, but it means everything to those disciples who were standing there listening to Jesus. as he was dying, he needed to make sure that they understood the kind of caring relationships that his disciples were to have for each other. In John's gospel, it says it like this. When Jesus, remember now he's hanging up on the cross, when Jesus looked down, when he saw his mother there, the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, his mom, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So we ask, what do caring relationships really look like? Well, like looking out for one another as family, as John and Mary did. So the PH check, church assessment, it defines one aspect of a healthy church as a caring community that looks out for each other. So a healthy church is what we're striving always to be. A healthy church is a caring community that looks out for one another. So for being the church the way Jesus meant us to be the church, then we're looking out for each other. Now the Bible's full of this one another language, which suggests that the person that is looking out for you is the same person that you are looking out for. Let me say that again. The person that is looking out for you is the same person that you are looking out for. It's this one another, mutual relationship. The Bible describes it, Paul describes it in 1 Thessalonians 11. He says, encourage each other, say each other, and build up each other, say each other. Encourage each other and build each other up just as you are doing. Now, this is an encouragement to the church. Like, just as you're doing, keep doing that. And I would say that to you at Bethlehem Church, just as you're doing, keep doing that. And do it even more. So Paul says, encourage one another and build each other up. In other words, we need to have one another's back. Right? We all need someone to have our back. Who has our back? We need to do that for one another. We need to look out for each other. If you're online today, I want to encourage you to just type in this phrase, I am looking out for you. Type in, I am looking out for you. And if you're in the in-house today, if you're sitting here, just turn to someone beside you and just tell them, look them in the eye and say, I'm looking out for you. Tell them, I am looking out. We all need a Peter and a Leadro to encourage and build us up. Therefore, we all need to be a Peter and a Leadro to build each other up. So how do we do that in a way that Pete and Leadro looked after me? How do we duplicate that? How can we be a caring community that really does look out for each other? Well, we're going to keep it simple, okay? Let's just focus on two simple ways to look out for each other today. So if we do these two things, if we do them well, then we are on our way to fostering those caring relationships that truly do build one another up and form a healthy missional church. So they are these two things. One, meeting needs. Two, healthy engagement. Let's start with the second one, healthy engagement. Say that with me, healthy engagement. What does that mean? Well, Ivan Misner, he tells this story about three store owners who shared adjacent storefronts in the same building. And times were tough, so in hopes of picking up sales, one of the owners at the end of the building put up a sign in front of the entrance that said, year-end clearance. So at the other end of the building, another shop owner responded with his own sign, annual, closeout sale. So the owner in the middle, he knew he had to act fast or he was going to lose business. So after some careful consideration, he hung a larger sign over his front door that read, Main Entrance. Now, if we think about healthy engagement, the main entrance to that, the main entrance to healthy engagement is encouragement. Engagement is the key to our relationships. It really is. We need to engage with one another, but engagement isn't automatically helpful. It can also be harmful or hurtful. So encouragement is the doorway to this healthy engagement. And here's the key. We all need encouragement. Every one of us needs encouragement. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he writes it, encourage each other. He says, encourage each other. You know, the Lord inspired Paul's words because God knows that we need encouragement. Every one of us along the path needs encouragement. And it starts with leaders. Leaders need encouragement. Now, this feels a little weird in sharing this next part of this passage because in it, I'm actually telling you to encourage me, right? So the truth is, when we ask who needs encouragement, the answer is everybody needs encouragement. That includes leaders. That includes me. I need encouragement. Pastor Greg needs encouragement. Ministry Director Cheryl needs encouragement. Good job, Cheryl. You're doing well. Our leadership team on council needs encouragement. Our youth team and ministry teams and Be Bold teams, they all need encouragement. Our children's ministry leaders, they need encouragement. Let me say that again. Our children's ministry leaders, they need encouragement. Give them some. Our Sunday school teachers, they need encouragement. And our sound team and our worship team and our tech team, they need encouragement. Good job back there. And our worship team, they're all up here leading. The bottom line is leaders need encouragement. And that's what this church is supposed to be, an encouraging church. You know, the letter in the Bible, it says this. Dear brothers and sisters, so it's talking to all of us, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love. And here's the key. Love and respect goes a long way in encouraging your leaders. Love and respect. And I'm so grateful that you are an encouraging church. And together we are encouraging that kind of behavior. Every time we read our relational covenant, we have a covenant within the church that guides our interactions. And here's the key, especially when we are in disagreement, or especially when we don't get along. So how do we treat one another? Well, one of those are we respect and honor the office of pastor and other lay leaders. Why do we do this? Because we all need encouragement. Leaders need encouragement. And up-and-coming leaders need encouragement. Those students that were up here last week sharing the DC drama, they did an amazing job, and they needed encouragement, certainly, but they continue to need encouragement that they might continue to step out into their giftings and leading. You know, Pastor Greg had commented at that service in introducing it, he said something like, this may not be perfect, but they're up here, and it could be you. So that's actually a thoughtful comment, Pastor Greg. We need to have this empathy, this understanding, this recognition of what those young leaders are going through as they step up to lead the church and lead the congregation. Empathy, understanding that this is a difficult role, especially the first time. And you know that if you've been in there, or you can imagine that if you haven't. So this empathy that says, I want to encourage you. You see, you are the church. And I might be mistaken, but I anticipate that we will measure strong in this pH check assessment in this idea of demonstrating grace and encouragement to those who are stepping out into these new leadership roles. That is a sign of a healthy church. So encourage one another, because who needs encouragement? Everyone needs encouragement. Leaders need it, new leaders need it, and people who are struggling need it. The apostle writes, encourage those who are timid. Now, this word timid in the scripture, it describes not necessarily someone who's shy, but rather it's this idea of someone who's struggling. Maybe struggling in faith, maybe struggling with doubts. They may be in those days facing really intense persecution, and they weren't sure how this faith thing was going to hold out for them. They needed encouragement. And the idea is that we all, at some point, struggle. We all face trouble. The resurrection reminds us, however, that the best is yet to come. Why? Because he is risen. Let's try that again. He is risen. We need that kind of encouragement to one another. He is risen. All things are possible. I'll say it again. The strong are responsible to encourage the weak. The strong are responsible to encourage the weak. You know, those who are strong in the faith right now are to lift up those who are struggling in the faith. Because one day, and maybe one day soon, you may be that person who is struggling in the faith, and you depend on someone to come alongside of you and lift you up and build you up and walk beside you and encourage you. It's a mutual building up. It seems like when we often show up to worship on Sundays, it's when we are in need of some kind of encouragement. We've had a tough week. We have struggled with something. Maybe something completely out of our circumstances. We need some encouragement. We need to hear a good word and a pat on the back from a friend who is willing to walk with us. A wise pastor once told me, if you're down, you need the church. If you're up, the church needs you. Let that sink in a little bit. If you're down, you definitely need the church. We can't go it alone. But if you're up, the church needs you. Sometimes healthy engagement is simply showing up. Up or down or up, we need to show up. So we need this engagement, though sometimes we don't even know it. Very easily, we often forget that we are made to engage. We're made for relationship. And even the most introverted amongst us needs someone. We all need encouragement from our church. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 puts it this way. And let us consider how we may spur one another on. Say that word with me, spur. Spur one another on. It's this idea, you know, if you're a cow person, cowboy or girl, if you're one of them, you maybe know what that means to have those spurs on your feet, you know, kicking the side of the horse. It's a jar, it's a jolt, it moves that animal forward. So let us consider how to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging, say encouraging. Encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching, all the more as that day of resurrection draws near. So sometimes just showing up is the encouragement that you need. But here's, I think, the really important point. Sometimes just showing up and saying good morning, saying how are you, is the encouragement that someone else needed. And you didn't even know it, but that little greeting made their day, was just what they needed to carry them through. And if you're participating online today, let me encourage you to go just a little bit farther in participation from just watching to engagement. And here's what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that you make a comment or text to your host today, who is online with you. Or if you're on YouTube, you can't do that, go ahead and text someone in the church right now and say, I'm watching on YouTube, because you don't know that that engagement, that you are here with us online, is just what someone here needs. And if someone's looking at their phone right now, then I know you're doing it. So maybe afterwards, if you're watching this at a different time, go ahead and give someone a text or call right now and just say, hey, I'm watching the message today, and then engage them with some question about what you heard or how they're doing, or just say hello. Why does that matter? Because someone needs you to show up. Their life may depend on it. We depend on each other to encourage one another. So we are depending on you. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So we said the doorway to healthy engagement is encouragement. So we're going to keep it simple today. Healthy engagement requires something of us. It means showing up in each other's lives with a word of encouragement. So the two ways we're focusing on looking out for each other are healthy engagement and meeting needs. So a high priority of a healthy missional church is meeting the needs of its members, meeting the needs of the people who participate. So until I came to Wheaton, I had never experienced a whole community rallied together to care for its people. I know that benefits and things like that take place in other communities for people, but not in the way I've seen it done here in our communities. People who face crisis, people who are in trouble, the community does a benefit and everybody gathers and supports them. And thousands of dollars are raised to support families struggling with cancer or trauma. And to be honest, it's really quite amazing. So it's a highlight, I think, of living in a community like this, recognizing how we come together. It's a shining example, I think, of generosity and compassion displayed at its best. It's what it really means to look out for one another. However, someone reminded me some time ago, it doesn't happen for everyone. It doesn't happen for everyone. The Apostle Paul, he writes, take tender care of those who are weak. The church can't distinguish between who gets help and who doesn't. Because we're a family, right? We're Christ's family. We rally together for one another in the church. We are Jesus' family. And just like Jesus told John and Mary at the cross, John was to take Mary in as his mother in that family relationship. Mary was to take John in and care for him, look out for John as her own son. This is the depth of relationship that Jesus calls us to when we're caring for each other. We are a church who is to look out for one another as sons and daughters, as sisters and brothers, as parents and grandparents, because we are one family. And that means every one of us. Every one of us has needs. Interestingly enough, however, it's not a free handout just for anybody who wants it. The apostle is, Paul, he's very clear about this. He admonishes the church. He writes to them, he says, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. You know, in other places, Scripture describes the blessing of work. And if someone can work, they need to do that to provide for themselves, but also, and here's key, to provide for others. Scripture's clear on that. We work to provide for ourselves and for those in need. So work is a blessing. It gives us purpose in our lives. It gives us provision for ourselves, and it allows us to be a blessing for others. So it's this threefold blessing. So here's the key. I think the apostle is reminding the church to warn those who are lazy because here's why. They're missing out on a triple blessing. They're missing out. So the focus today is on how we are to look out for each other, and to keep it simple, how to provide for our needs. And I think the bottom line is to live and give generously. Live and give generously with your resources and your very selves. Several years ago, after a Sunday school class on living generously, the class decided that the Holy Spirit was leading them to start this generosity project. And one of the participants donated a dresser. In fact, it's the dresser that you see out in the entry in the church. And if you pull a drawer open in there, there's some blankets and some quilts in there. Now, these aren't big ticket items, but they represent this need for compassion and comfort care in the church. So on top of that dresser is a box. Now, you might think that a box in a church with a slit on top is what? An offering box, right? Well, it's not. So if you put your offering in there, whoops, it's the wrong one. There's another one in here. It's not an offering box. It's actually a box where anonymous people can put in a request for assistance, a request for care, a request for help. And then there's a team, this team that formed around this study that a few years back, that will actually do their best to engage in helping find that resource or that care that is needed. Now, it might be something that the church can provide, and a request would be made anonymously for that provision. It might also be a financial gift, and there are a few donors within the church that have graciously supplied whenever that need is there. So there's actually set aside funds for care and compassion and offering a Christ-honoring response to those of us in the church in times of need. And I want to tell you, this fund has been used and has been a great blessing to people. And I would have to say, it's not even as much the gift that makes the difference, it's the encouragement that it brings, that they are being looked out for, that they are being cared for. And that's you. That's the church. That's the Dresser Project. So if you find yourself in need, if you have a care concern that you can want to ask the church, you can anonymously put a little thing in the box there, and you'll be contacted anonymously. That'll be taken care of the best that we can. So we are seeking to be a caring community that looks out for each other. It speaks inside these walls, and it speaks outside in our communities. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples, is what Jesus said. So who are you looking out for in the church? Who are you looking out for? Who are you having caring conversations with? Who are you bringing to youth group or Bible Blast or Be Bold on Wednesday nights? Who are you taking to the doctor and back again? Who are you dropping off or dropping by for a care call or visit? Who are you delivering meals to? Who are you sending prayer texts to? Who are you connecting with on a Zoom chat just to say, hey, it's good to see your face? Who are you helping with home visits? Who are you inviting for coffee conversations? Who are you blowing snow for? Hopefully you're not, but who are you? Who are you supporting financially through a crisis? Yeah. Who are you helping get back on their feet with a job or some extra income? Who are you surprising with a gift of encouragement? Who are you giving a hug to? Someone who just looks like they need a hug. Who are you showing up for? Who are you looking out for in the church? Years ago, unbeknownst to me, Cheryl's grandpa, Lidro, asked a young man named Pete to look out for me. Everybody needs a Pete. Everybody needs a Lidro. We need you. Will you be a Lidro or a Pete to someone in this church? Let's pray. Lord, help us to be the church that looks out for one another. And Lord, even though we are seeing this more and more, help us to engage with others even more in deep and caring relationships. Lord, we are your church. We are your spiritual family. So help each one of us to encourage someone else today. Point us towards someone today, Lord, who we can look out for. Someone we can build up in the weeks and the months and maybe even years ahead. Someone who we can help share in the experience of this life in Christ together. And if that's you today, if your desire is to be a Pete or a Lidro, then I invite you to silently pray this prayer with me. Lord, I commit today to caring relationships, to a relationship with someone in the church. Lord, connect me with the person that you want me to begin to look out for and to care for. And then, Lord, empower me to love them as they need to be loved. In Jesus' name I pray. You know, we are not self-sufficient caregivers. Do you really know who's looking out for you? Yes, I hope you feel that the church is looking out for you, but ultimately, it is Jesus. the greatest caregiver there is. And if you know him, then we are able to share that love and grace with those around us. But if we're not filled with that love and grace and care that comes from Christ, then we need that first. That is the first loving, caring relationship that we need. And so if that's you today, I invite us again. Let's just bow our head one more time. If you're online joining us, if you need today to know that God really loves you, that Jesus definitely cares for you, then I invite you to put your trust and faith in him with a simple prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I need you to look out for me. Please forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for filling me with a new life right now. Lord, fill me with your love and compassion for others, that I may care and support and help someone else. Thank you, in Jesus' name.